Eberly went on, you can spend all your time watching your filthy vids instead of merely the evenings. Wilmot staggered back a step, the color drained from his beefy face. This habitat needs strong leadership, said Eberly, especially with the elections coming up and our impending arrival at Saturn. You've done your job quite well, Professor. Now it's time for you to step aside. And turn everything over to you? Never! Eberly shrugged. Well, in that case, we'll have to make your choice of entertainment known to the entire population of the habitat.
We? Who do you mean?
We don't want to embarrass you, Professor. Simply step aside and allow me to take control, and no one will ever know about your little perverse entertainments. Wilmot sank down into the nearest chair, speechless.
Nanotech Laboratory.
We'll go on the day after we establish orbit around Saturn, Gaeta said. Sitting at her desk in her office cubicle, Chris Cardenas looked far from pleased. Why so soon? Why not wait and get more data first? Gaeta smiled at her. This isn't science, Chris. It's showbiz. We go right away, we get a lot more attention. Much bigger audience. We wait until the Chingata scientists have all the data they want. We'll be old and gray and nobody will give a damn anymore. Her cornflower blue eyes snapped. I'm one of those Chingato scientists, Manny. Pursing his lips, Gaeta answered. You'd be a Chingata, feminine, but you're not. It's not a nice word, and you're a nice person. Cardenas was not amused. Isn't it dangerous enough without plunging in there as soon as we arrive at Saturn? Chris, I love you, but I don't think you're ever going to understand my business. The more danger, the better. Until you kill yourself? I'm not going to kill myself. Fritz won't let me. It'd ruin the damn suit. He'd kill me if I did that. Despite herself, Cardenas laughed. Raul Tavallero popped his head over the edge of the cubicle's partition. I'm going home now, okay? That's fine, Raul, said Cardenas. An uncertain expression clouded Tavallero's long face. You heard from Holly this afternoon?
No.
She said she'd call me. We were going to go out for dinner, but I haven't heard from her all day, and she's not answering her phone. Before Cardenas could reply, Gaeta said, I thought we'd go out to Nemo's tonight, Chris. All right by me, turning back to Tavallera. I haven't heard a thing from Holly, Raul. Funny, he said. That's not like her, not calling when she said she would. It is a little strange, Cardenas agreed. Whatever, Tavallera said. I'm going. The main processor is still working on the assemblers for Dr. Urbain. She nodded. I know. Switch on the UVs before you leave, okay? Yeah.
Well, where is she? Eberly demanded. Kananga was sitting up on Viborg's sofa now. He had put the cold towel away, but his left cheek was slightly puffy. I have my whole staff searching for her. We'll find her within an hour or two. Eberly paced past Viborg, who was sitting in the armchair on the other side of the coffee table. She's got to be found, and silenced. She will be, Kananga said. She can't go far, Viborg offered. This habitat is big, but it's not that big. Eberly frowned at him. His mind was racing. They've dragged me into this. Now I'm a party to their crime, whether I want to be or not. Two blundering oafs. They couldn't even take care of one woman, a girl, a child, really. He glared at Kananga as he paced across the room. Or maybe they're smarter than I think. Maybe they planned it all this way, precisely to put me in their orbit. How can I hold the old man's murder over their heads now? Abruptly, he stopped and jabbed a finger at Kananga. As soon as she's found, I want her brought to me. Do you understand that? No more violence. I'll take care of her. Kananga's brows knit. What do you have in mind? That's my business. I'll handle it. She can accuse me of murder, Kananga said. And assault, perhaps attempted murder, said Viborg. Certainly attempted rape. You, Eberly pointed at Viborg, get every phone in the habitat checked out. I want to know where she is when she calls, who she's calling, and what she's telling them. Viborg nodded and got up from his chair. Eberly headed for the door. "Where are you going?" asked Kananga. "To see Wilmot. If we're going to hunt down this woman, we must prevent him from getting in our way."
Holly ducked through the hatch and clambered down a steel ladder to the utilities tunnel that ran the length of the habitat. "Maybe they won't think of looking for me down here," she thought. "And even if they do, I can hide out in this maze for days and days, long as I have to, just like Jean Valjean in the sewers." As she headed down the silent, dimly lit tunnel, she tried to remember when she'd read Les Miserables. Pancho had made her read a lot of old stuff after she had been reborn from the cryonics tank. Ponch called it literature. Most of it was pretty boring. But Holly remembered vividly the scene in the sewers that ran beneath the Paris streets. "Did I see a vid of it?" she wondered. "Maybe before I died?" With a puzzled shake of her head, she felt thankful that the habitat's tunnels were dry and there were no rats, no sewer smell either. Holly sniffed and smelled nothing, maybe some dust and the faint trace of machine oil or something. Water gurgling through some of the pipes, the ever-present hum of electrical machinery. The tunnel's automatic lights turned on as she walked and off as she left a section. She saw a wall phone. "I could call Chris," she thought, "or Manny. He'd help me. He'd beat the crap out of Kananga." But she hesitated in front of the phone. Kananga's in charge of security. He's got the whole Warpin security force under his command, and Malcolm's in with them. They could say whatever they want about me, say I'm under arrest or something. Chiefs, they could even say that I murdered Don Diego. And if I call Chris or anybody else, I'd be getting them into trouble. Holly felt panic surging in her gut. What should I do? What can I do? She sagged against the tunnel's metal wall and slumped to the floor. "Don't do anything," she told herself. "You're pretty safe here, at least for the time being. Nobody knows where you are. You can stay down here until you figure things out. Or starve to death." She looked up and down the tunnel, darkness in both directions. Good. If anybody was coming after her, the lights would be flickering on and off. Food. "I was supposed to go to dinner with Raoul tonight. He'll think I stood him up." She pushed herself up to her feet. "Sorry, Raoul," she apologized silently. Then she grinned. Food. Holly closed her eyes briefly, picturing the layout of the tunnels. The food processing plants were further down this tunnel. "But if I take the cutoff and head back under Athens, I can get under the storage lockers for the cafeteria. Plenty of food there." She started off in that direction.
Chris Cardenas lay in her bed, trying to decide if she was making another mess of her life. "What will I be this time?" she asked herself. "A hard-hearted bitch or a romantic idiot?" Her relationship with Gaeta had started out as a passionate fling, all glands and heat. Once Holly had stepped out of the way, she allowed Manny to bed her. She hadn't had so much fun in decades. But then she found out about Nadia. It wasn't that Gaeta had been unfaithful to her. Neither one of them had promised anything except fun and games. But the thought that Manny used women that way, slept with a woman who could help him and then moved on to the next, that angered her. Then came his sudden declaration of love. True love. Cardenas almost laughed aloud at the thought. But whatever it was, she was overjoyed by it. "At my age," she thought, stifling a giggle. "Score a real triumph for nanotechnology." As she turned to face her love, though, her thoughts sobered. He's going to get himself killed, she feared. That's the business he's in, taking constantly bigger risks. Cardenas hated the public, the audience of vicarious thrill-seekers who pushed Manny to riskier and riskier stunts until he tried the one stunt that would kill him. He lay on his back, blissfully asleep, his rugged, expressive face relaxed, almost boyish. Cardenas studied the slight scars on his brow and along his jawline, the slightly pushed-in aspect of his nose. "Stop it," she commanded herself. "You're getting soft as a grape." even if he lives through this ring stuff.